What's a common thing that Mount Lebanon needs, that I need, that we all need? And he just kept saying the same word over and over, and it's suffering. Suffering. And I got to thinking about that. And the more I studied it, and the more he gave it to me, and the more scripture he gave, and that's what I love about this, is because it's his scripture that's preaching this message. And I've got things that I can put in too, and y'all can too, but was I supposed to read these? I hope not. But I got to sitting and I got to thinking, and I got to thinking about my church family and how we sit and how we lay out in here. And then I was going to start right back there in the back, and I was sitting thinking about Ethan and Stephen and Jennifer and what he's been through his whole life, but God created him that way for a purpose. And then I get to Holly and Terry and the diagnosis they did not want to hear, but Jacob is special. Johnny's been through a tremendous turmoil. He's special. I look at Joe, he about lost a grandbaby. And then I come up to Miss Linda and her son and then what she's married to. And then the suffering that she takes. But I am going to throw Brother Finley in there. He's had two hips, two knees. He suffered. We're going to have to suffer in this life, I promise you. Then I can come on up, and if I miss you, please don't say, well, he didn't see me. Miss Rebecca and her infirmities, Miss Betty. Then I come over here, liver transplant. Sit and think about this, people. Suffering that we've gone through for him. Kevin, I love that boy. And I got, the Lord touched me this morning about his infirmities, and I get to walk around heaven with him talking about the Raiders and the Steelers. I get to do that because of suffering. Rob and his heart. Miss Kim, cancer twice. I've had cancer and heart surgery. We've suffered. And I know I've left some people out, but we've suffered as a unit. We've suffered as a church family, but God's there through the suffering. We are to help each other through our suffering. That's the key, is helping and being willing to help each other through our suffering. And then, you know, why did I go through? I don't know. It may be these three sitting right here. I don't know. God placed me in a campus ministry to impact some lives. I don't know why I lived the life I've lived. I don't know why God allowed me to live the life I've lived. But he did. But he saw something in Tim nobody else cared to see in Tim. And who was that telling me this morning? Mary Alice. Said she talked to a girl I went to school with this week and said, well, who's filling in for Brother Wynn? Well, he's not there. And she said, Tim Kirby's preaching. And the girl said, Tim Kirby is a preacher. That's God. It's not Tim. It's God's business. God saved me when he wanted to save me. God saved you when he wanted to save you. Now our opportunity is to evangelize and tell others about him. People are watching us through this suffering, people. They're watching us. How are we going to make it through? How are we going to make it through? It's going to be Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to get us through. And he gave me 3 points to this morning, and they all rhyme or started with the same letter, and he don't do that for me much because I don't have the capacity to. I'm not a Wynn Grier. I'm telling you, he's one of the smartest men I've ever been around. He's one of the greatest teachers I ever had. He can teach me things that nobody else can teach me because of the way he approaches me with it. The way he gives us the Word of God, the way he tells us and helps us, it's amazing what I've learned just by watching him. He is amazing. He's an amazing pastor. We need to love him up as much as we can. But if you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verse number 10, I'm going to read one verse and pray, and then we're going to settle in here and see what the Lord will do for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Almighty God, we just bow unworthy heads to you right now. God, I just ask you to to set Tim aside right now. God, just let me be a vessel. God, let me be used of you. God, just help me have your thoughts and what you want said. God, help our church family. We have suffered in the last little while, God, but you're right there with us. You will never leave us. You'll never forsake us. You promised us that. God, there's been suffering almost on every pew in here, God. And it's worth it, God, if we'll look at this, how you gave it to me, God, and how we'll bring it out right here. I pray that we can bring it out the way you want it brought out. God, I thank you for giving me this thought, God, and helping my church family. I love them with all my heart, God. Just thank you for all you do, but thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, the suffering that he endured on my behalf and on all of our behalfs. In his precious holy name we pray, amen. So I got to sit and thank him. And if there's a title to this, it's Success Through Suffering. We can be successful through our suffering. It's not a curse. There's God will not put more on you than you can handle. It's a promise of his. So I look at it like this. If God's piling it on you, you're pretty tough. And I love that because he tests us and he wants us to know, but he wants us to know that it's him that's going to get us through this. And he's the one that's got me through it. He's the one that's got us all through it. It's Jesus Christ. It's what he wants to do and take us and help us to help others. That's going to come out right here in a minute. But it's okay to ask, why do I have to go through this? Job did. Look what Job went through. He asked why. Why? He couldn't figure it out. He had lost every single thing he had except his wife, lost his youngins, lost his house, lost his property, lost his animals. He lost every single thing he had. And he had the right to say why. I've asked God why. Why did I go through what I went through? Why am I still, you know, cancer did things to me that'll never be reversed. It's over. Certain things are done. It's nothing that I can ever change. But God allowed me to live through it. And I hope he gave me a stronger voice for him because I want to show others that it's my faith in him that got me through that. It's not Tim and the strength in Tim because I'm losing my strength as far as physical strength. You know, you men know what I'm saying. You hit that 50 mark, boys, it's over. Everything starts turning to jelly. All that big muscle you used to think you had, it's not there no more. It's not there and you can't get it back because we're all going to die. It's appointed to men wants to die. But you know, Job's greatest test was not the pain of his losses and his suffering, but that he didn't know why it happened. He didn't know, he couldn't understand. He was a good man. The Lord said it in that chapter. Job was a just man, but he didn't know why. It's okay to ask God why. You know, and he told Satan, and he said, Satan, you can do anything to him, but you can't kill him. But son, Satan laid it on him. Satan has laid it on a bunch of us in here. This church family has took a beating from Satan. We've got to take a stand against him. Our country needs to take a stand against what's being forced down our throats right now. It's wicked. It's an abomination. It's not right. And yet, therefore, we're going to have to take a stand. God is going to pull out the one that's got a backbone for him and he's going to use them. I feel that like right now and it's really, really starting to squeeze in on the Christians. We're the ones that's taking the beating right now. We're the ones that are helping this country to keep from getting obliterated. Because there's no way God can look at Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy them and not look at the United States of America and not destroy us. It's only us that's keeping this country floating and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize that it's people in the house of God today that's worshiping him and loving him that's keeping this from being destroyed. But God, Jesus is ready to come back. I can't wait till he does, but there's people that I want to see saved before he comes back. It should be every single one of our desires to do that. But you know, Elihu, he was one of them three of Job's, and you know, they always say if you had three friends like Job, he'd just soon not had any. But because they thought they knew God better than anybody else did. They thought they could speak for God. But Elihu, He gave Job a profound statement in Job 33 and 13. And I was reading this and it makes so much sense. Why dost thou strive against him? He's telling Job, why do you strive against God? But right here it is. For he giveth not account of any of his matters. He doesn't have to tell me anything. He doesn't have to explain to me why I went through what I went through, why I go through what I go through, or any of y'all go through what you go through. He does not have to tell us that. He loves us. He provided a way to get through it through His blood of Jesus Christ. And the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that is here now, He gave us that to get through it. But He does not have to explain to me why I went through it. And He doesn't have to explain to you. He's God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55 and 12. I'll just flip there, you know. Because it's, or 55, 8 and 9. Because I was quoting this at the children's home the other night, or trying to, and so I had to turn to it. 55, 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 11 says, but this is the key. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." No matter what we say to somebody else, if we stay in God's word and we say something about God, it'll not return void. It says it right there. And that's when I finally got to that point in the ministry, is it doesn't matter if I stay in God's word and I say it and it doesn't look like anybody's hearing it, somebody's hearing it. God may bring it to their remembrance. It may be 5 years down the road, but it will not return void. If you stay in the Word of God, it will not return void. He promises us that right there. And He says, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Pain and suffering may be what God is wanting to please something. To something, it's what He's going to use. It's the vessel He's going to use to accomplish something. And it says, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's God. That's what He's saying. His word's never going to return void because it's perfect. His word's holy. His word is righteous. It's all God. And you know, maybe our greatest test may be to trust in God and His goodness even though we don't understand why. Maybe that's the test we're going through. It's just trust Him. Just love Him. Just obey Him. Be obedient to Him. Just do what we can. But we need to trust Him not because He's good. No. I read that wrong. We need to trust God because He is good, not because of the goods He gives us. Just trust Him because of who He is. He's God. He's Almighty God. It's not what you have. It's not what you attain. And I heard Jenny say this the other day, and I don't even know if I had ever said this to her, but Lord has given me a message, I've not studied it out yet, about temporary pleasure versus eternal joy. I got eternal joy. The world's got eternal pleasure. The world's got things. They think they've got the world by the tail. And I'm going to tell you, their suffering may not be right now. Their suffering's going to start when it's over. My suffering ends when it's over. My suffering is done. My suffering, I don't have to go through. I'm so thankful I don't have to walk and limp around heaven in this beat up carcass of a man. I'm thankful for that. He's going to give me a new body that can handle the righteousness of Him. He's going to give me a whole new everything, a way of thinking. I've got a new name. We all got a new name. We're God's. He named us before we were ever born. You know, we're a creation of Him before we're even thought of with parents. He knew before my parents was born I was going to be standing right here today. I didn't, but He did. He's God. He knows everything. But you know, to get success out of suffering, we're going to look at three things. Number one is an example. Number two is an experience. Number three is eternity. Number one, if you will, flip to Hebrews chapter 2. And see, it's not fair because I've got thumb tabs and y'all don't, or I've got my markers. Hebrews chapter 2. Starting in verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." There's our example. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. He suffered for all of mankind. He suffered a death that was not His. He suffered the death of all of us. He suffered our sins. He became sin for us. He was the only one that God would accept the suffering from. the blood from. It's only the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ that'll get you there. There's no other way. And Romans 8 and 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we be also glorified together. So you're a joint heir, you're going to suffer. Because it's the Word of God tells us that. Where none of us are immune to suffering. And if you're going to be like Christ, and so many people want to say they're a Christian, when a lot of them don't hardly fit the bill, because to be like Christ is a Christian. There's so many that ain't going to live like Christ. I can't live like Him, but I have a desire to. That's when, and Brother Finley brought it up, in Sunday school, you've got to have a heart's desire to want to be like Christ. It's not our nature to be, because we're sinful. We still are, and we always will be till we get our new body. Till we leave this earth, we're going to be what we are. That was born into sin, that's what we are. But there is a desire inside each and every single one of us, if Jesus is in your soul, to want to do right. And if it goes through suffering, so be it. It's okay, because He suffered for you, so therefore He is the example of how you should suffer. He was the greatest example of suffering it's ever been. Think of the mental anguish He went through. He had to become something He didn't know nothing about. He became sin, the darkness, the separation. He knew that was going to separate Him from His Father. But He loved God enough, and He trusted God enough, and He loved us enough to go to hell for us. Literally went to hell for each and every single one of us. That's how much He loved us. He suffered so we don't have to. So we take a little bit of suffering and we think it's a lot. It's nothing compared to what He went through. It's nothing compared to what He went through. He's God. He went through it for us. 1 Peter 4 and 16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Go through it. Show the world that, yeah, you're a Christian, but you're the one that's getting blackballed, and the one that's not getting a promotion, and the one that's not getting a brand new truck every month, and all this stuff. It's okay. Your reward is coming. It's not here. We're not to be of this world. And the Lord let me preach some last week about being enmity with God is being a friend of the world. You want to get on God's bad side, you start living in the world. He says it in His Word. You want to be an enemy, start living worldly, but because you can't have it both ways. There's no way you can live in the world, be of the world, and be in God and live in God. There's no way. He says it. He plainly tells us that. But let Him glorify God on this behalf. That's the end of that verse. But the first point is an example. Jesus Christ was the greatest example that's ever been. He is our example. We are to be like Him if you claim to be a Christian. Point number two is experience. And I sit and I look at this. And I'll just turn over here. Y'all don't have to. But second, this is one of my favorite verses now, or combination of verses. But it wasn't until I went through what I went through. And then I got to thinking about it. And then I got to thinking about God, you know, and I was begging people to pray for me because I was so sick that I couldn't pray for myself. But 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Number two is experience. We've got an example, but number two is experience. And I always say this, and I don't, who was it? Darrell Waltrip, he used to say something about experience, I think, when he was racing. He said, you know, you can be a good driver, whatever, but experience matters. And experience matters in this life, I'll tell you that, because if you've gone through something that somebody else is facing, you're there for a reason. You're there to help them through. You're there to be with them. You're there to guide them to God if they're not a Christian. You're there to pull them and show them and say, I went through this, or I went through something very similar to this. This is what I did. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but this is the way God helped me through it. But experience matters. I loved it when people got real with me, when I started telling people I couldn't understand how God saved me from what I was. The wickedness of what I was and the life that I had lived. But then I had men that's about like y'all's age that looked me dead in the eye and say, son, I've been there. And then when people started getting honest with me and getting real with me, I realized that what God was offering me was real. And then I knew that other people could relate to the trouble and the sorrow and the suffering that I was going through. Then therefore it worked. Therefore, that's why we need to help others with their suffering. We need to help others that's going through something that we've been through. Don't be too prideful to look down your nose and say, "Oh, man, he shouldn't be running that woman. He shouldn't be leaving his wife and youngins. He shouldn't be drinking. He shouldn't be cussing." I did it all. Just being honest, we're all sinners. None of us can look down our nose on anybody. No way. No way. There's no way. I've done it. I've been there. People start saying, "Well, God can't save me." A lot of them young men over at the Youth Academy, they'll say, "God can't save me because I've done too bad a thing." I said, "Son, if we'd put us a billboard up here, a blackboard up here, I could stand and draw and tell you sins I've done over my life that you'll never compare to." I said, "You're at a point in your life that you cannot compare to the sin that I live with every day in my conscience and my heart that I committed against my God. There's no way you can commit what I've done." And they look at you kind of like you're crazy, but I told them, I said, "I've lived it, I know it, so therefore that's why I come to help you. Because I don't want you to go through what I've been through." Every single one of us should be in that same boat. We should never want to see anybody go down the road we've been down by themselves. Never. And it's hard. And I start seeing people different now. And after, you know, I see people as the way that I was instead of the way they need to be. It's the way I was. You can't act as, you can't want a lost man to live saved. It ain't going to happen. He's going to live lost. I was cussing in front of a preacher before I ever got saved, working with him, cussing in front of him. I didn't know no better. And the boy kept saying, "This is my preacher. This is my preacher." Didn't matter to me. You know, I'm embarrassed to say that, but it's true. Just be honest. That's all you got to be with kids. That's all you got to be with people, is being honest. They've got to see that you're not this in this little glass menagerie that you think you're above and you think you're better. We're all the same. We're all the same. But our experience matters. And it doesn't say He'll take it away, but many people want it to go away. As far as suffering, you think, I didn't like the suffering I went through, and I know some of you don't like the suffering that you're going through, but He's using it for a purpose. What He says, God of all comfort. He's comforting us through our tribulation so that we can help any that are in any trouble. Trouble is a big word, and it can go in a lot of different ways. It could be spiritually. It could be mentally. It could be physically. It could be a whole lot of things will fit into that word trouble. People are in trouble. The world is in trouble. And you know, some are guilty of using God as an Advil or a Tylenol. You think about it. Just take the pain away. Just take the pain away. That's all I want. The world, there's more opioid addiction in the United States right now. It's unbelievable. Take the pain away. Take the pain away. I'll tell you, he can take the pain away, but don't use him as a crutch. Don't use him as a pill. Don't use him as something that'll just ease it up a little bit on him. But what we need to do is love him and trust him and obey him, and then he'll help us. That's when he'll help us, when he sees our heart. And you know, he's got to see the intents of our heart. He knows us. He made us. He knows who we are. But comfort in these verses, it's strength. It's encouragement. It's hope. It's peace. It's joy. Brother Finley went over a whole list of them in Sunday school. That's the fruits of the Spirit. You don't get that unless you're God's child. You don't get to be that, but it comes natural. And I sit and I say a whole lot of times, and Jenny will have to say amen. And the boys too. But I'm not happy all the time, believe it or not. I mean, I cut up. I have a good time. But I'm pretty grumpy sometimes. And I get pretty ill, but I've got joy. There's something inside of me that nobody can take away. When you get that and you know that it can never leave you because you're in His hand, you can't get away from Him, there's joy there. There's joy in knowing that when I take my last breath here, I'm opening my eyes to Him. I get to see Him. I get a new body. Jesus Christ don't. He's still got holes in His hands. Think of that. He's going to be shining. He's going to be... But there, you know, I sit and I think there's a lot of people in the Word of God. There's a lot of people that's gone on. A lot of my dear friends that I don't have anymore that are dead. I get to see them again, but God's going to be the focal picture there. It's going to be Jesus Christ. He's going to be the light. And I say it a lot of times, we're not going to have a sun anymore. The earth's going to burn up. Everything, fervent heat's going to burn the elements up. But Jesus Christ is the light. He's going to light the whole world still. He'll be our sun. But he is a sun. He's the Son of God. So he's always going to be the sun. He's always going to be the light. But you know, opening your eyes with Jesus Christ as what you're looking at, I can't think of a better way to die. I truly can't. But everything we experience and endure helps us in turn help somebody else through theirs. Everything you go through, there's a reason behind it. Things don't just happen. It's God's plan. Sometimes the plan hurts, but the hurt is for our own good, and our hurt is to help somebody else ease their pain. It's worth it. You know, if it's so worth it. But 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, this is so beautiful. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He'll give you everything you need. His grace is perfect. His mercy is perfect. You know, it's we don't deserve it. It's unmerited grace. It's unmerited favor. It's nothing we've done to deserve what God has done for us. No way. You'll never pay him back. The first one was example. Second is experience. Third one is eternity. And Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, for the Lamb which was in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The world can't say that. I'm never going to be sorry again. I'm never going to cry again. Neither are you. We're never going to feel sorrow. We're never going to feel suffering. We're never going to feel bad things again when we get to heaven. It's all going to be perfect. It's all going to be happiness. It's all going to be joy. It's all going to be looking upon a Savior that did something for me that I did not deserve. He loved us that much. But you know, we've got an eternity now. Well, you know, our suffering is leading us to a successful eternity. And then, I'll turn right over. Revelation 21, and this is the most familiar of this. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He's taking it all away. He's given us goodness. He's always loved us. But he's given us things. There's going to be no more dying. And you know, it's the world is, if I suffer here and I'm counted worthy to suffer, so be it. Because I get my reward. I'm going to be as rich as any other man that leaves the face of the earth. Nobody's going to be richer in heaven than me. Think about it. We worry about a dollar here. We'll run over people here to get up that ladder, to get the corporate ladder, to get this, to get this, to get that promotion. But it does not matter in heaven. It's all level. We walk on one street and it's paved with gold. Gold does not matter to God. We walk on it. Think about it. The whole world's economy is set, well, the United States is supposedly in Kentucky at Fort Knox with all that big bunch of gold. That's how our economy works. God's going to let us walk on it. It's nothing to him. He made it. He made it. That's who he is. But nobody in heaven will be richer than you are. We're all the same. He didn't create us to be different, but he created a soul, and that's what I... And I wish Chelsea was here because I aggravate her about playing with the girl she plays with. But, you know, our souls are no different color. They're not male. They're not female. They're a soul. Jesus Christ died for it. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. It's just who you are. God created you. You are a work of His. That's why He wanted to. But, you know, what an eternity. You think about that. No more pain. No more suffering. No more death. Just eternal one day. Be no night. It's going to be one day for millions of years. Think about it. He's the light. It's never going to turn off. Always going to be a light. But praise God, our suffering's over then. When you take your last breath here, if you're a child of His, it's over. Because then it gets better. I can handle, you know, can you handle it? I believe I can handle a little bit of suffering here for what I get. The reward He's going to give me. But you know, for a lost world, theirs is just beginning. Think about it. Their suffering's just starting when they die. Because they'll die forever and never be able to die. And it's so sad to watch people so wrapped up in the world. They can't give it up. They can't shake the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three lies Satan's been killing us on. He don't have to come up with any more. All you got to do is tempt you with a little bit of something. Oh man, I believe I do need that. I've worked hard this year. Satan's slick. He's very slick. That's why he's an adversary. That's why he wants to destroy families. That's his job. That's what he does. But you know, if we will look at our example, which is Jesus Christ, and our experience, things that He's allowed us to go through and not die, then we can help somebody else with their eternity. Suffering's not fun, but it won't last forever. Think about it. It ain't no fun. Some of the stuff we've gone through, it's not fun. But I want to reread the text verse. But God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, it don't say forever, a while. Think about it. It's appointed unto a man wants to die. In the Bible it says 70 years. That's all average lifespan of a man and woman. 70 years. It's only a while. Compared to eternity, it's no comparison. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle. I was about to study those words out. But being perfect, we can't be perfect as far as Jesus Christ was perfect, but a desire to be. Establish, or to establish you, strengthen you. We've got to have the strength, the comfort, but to settle you. You know, have you ever heard, you know, somebody blow up and you say, settle down a little bit. Settle down. Jenny tells me that all the time. Settle down. But He's going to settle us. But I also see that as I will be settled in what I am and who He is. If you're a child of His, you will be too. But I'm going to leave you with this final thought and we're done. Suffering gets us to trust God for who He is, not what He does. Church, I love you. Girls, if one of you wants to come or both of you want to come, come on up.